And today I'm just giving you an introduction. So it's going to be a bit of a long introduction, but I needed to set this up for the series that I'm going to be preaching about times that are changing over the next while according to the Spirit of God. I'm not just going to speak to you prophetically, but I'm going to speak to you biblically. And I believe that if we would get this word in our heart, it might just change the outcome of our future. You know, over the last few months, I've been led by the Holy Spirit to really preach words that have been encouraging. They've been messages of hope, messages of purpose, messages of faith and of perspective, and about the flawlessly good character of God. I mean, you've heard me quote that scripture almost every single week. This is the gospel that you have heard, that in Him is light and there is no darkness at all. That means zero, no mixture at all, no darkness, purely light and good. It's important that we know the character of God. It's been important over these last number of months to have an infusion and an injection of hope and encouragement and faith and all those things. And man, God is so smart. He's so much smarter than me. Some people out there don't think that God's smarter than they are, but He is. I promise you, He's smarter than you, and definitely smarter than a fifth grader, I'll tell you that much. And you know, I believe that God had a strategy in mind. I think that God's plan and the messages that He's placed on my heart for these last number of months has been oh so strategic. After all, it's really hard to follow someone that you don't trust. And I believe that God was trying to build inside of us trust, that God has a hope, a future, and an expected end for us, that He's got good plans for us. He's got good and not evil. Nobody can give you something they don't have. God doesn't have any evil, so He can't give you any evil. He can only give you good. Sometimes our perspective is messed up, and we think that the good things are bad, but really, they're all part of God's extremely wonderful plan for your life and for mine. But I want to tell you this for sure and for certain, that God is starting us into a change of seasons. He's preparing us for what He knows is coming up in the near future. You know, my son and I went out the other day just to have some father-son time, and I wanted to go buy him a patch from 5-Eleven Tactical because he's into collecting these morale patches and stuff. And we just spent some great time together. But my goodness, I think it was the hottest day that we've had so far this year. And I can just imagine myself wearing a winter parka out there in the heat. I would have been sweltering and sweating. It was already hot when I was just wearing a shorts and t-shirt. But if we're not prepared for the change of season, we'll be caught in a bad spot. I would have been sweating unnecessarily. Or maybe if it's in the wintertime, I've had some friends that they're born and raised in Hawaii and they don't know too much about the mainland. So they thought that winter on the mainland was going to be the same as winter in Hawaii. And so they were dressed in normal winter attire for Hawaii. They were wearing shorts, t-shirt, and what we call slippers here. Not indoor slippers, outdoor slippers. Some of y'all call them flip-flops or whatever. You're wrong, but you call them flip-flops. They're called slippers. And we went to the mainland, and it was the middle of winter, and they were freezing their tush off because they did not have a proper jacket. All they had was a windbreaker, because that's all you need in Hawaii. That's why everyone wants to live here, by the way. But you know what? We had to go shopping and go get them a proper jacket so they were fit for the season. We want to help you to be prepared for the season. And I believe that God has a season change coming up for us. This is what I want to tell you. God is setting us up for success. Man, He knows so much what's coming up before we do. He knows the end from the beginning. He is setting you up for success. I'm telling you, it is all a setup from heaven. He's setting you up for success. Listen, people who are positioned properly in times of crisis tend to prosper. If you don't know this, usually in times of crisis, the rich get richer. You know why? Because when everybody is selling, they're buying. They know something that maybe other people don't know. You and I, we've got to know something that other people don't know. His name is Jesus, and He wants to position you properly to prosper in a time of crisis. I think that's awful nice of Him, don't you? Think about it. God's positioning you for a very special time. Well, how can you say that, Pastor Jake? Just look at it. You could have been born at any other time of human history, but you weren't. I mean, you could have been born during the bubonic plague. No, thank you. You could have been born at a time when there was no Wi-Fi. I mean, you could have been born at a time when there was no kind of horseless carriage, and you would have had to drive a horse and buggy all over the place. Now, if you're anything like me, you love the smell of horse breath. You love the smell of horse poop. It's just like nostalgic to you. But if you're not like that, it would have been terrible, wouldn't it? You couldn't get into your 500 horsepower sports car and go driving, tearing down the freeway as fast as you possibly can according to the speed limit. You would have had to go at the top speed that your horses were capable of. And if you had a fat, out-of-shape horse, you were out of luck, right? You'd just be slow. If your horse got grass belly and all that, you're sunk. You were born at this particular time of human history. I know that all the young men out there who are gamers are like, yes, the Lord bless me by causing me to be born at such a time as this. That's why he created my hands in this position. My friend, he did not create your hands in this position. They should look like that, just so that you know. You were born for such a time as this. You were born in a time where history hasn't been made. History is being written. And that means that you get to be a part of that current writing. Listen, you were born in a time when more people are currently alive at the same time, simultaneously, right now, more than any other time of human history. Billions of people living on the planet at this time. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? Well, if you're a Christian and if you believe that we have the opportunity to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, we have an unprecedented opportunity that no one else in the world has ever had before. In fact, if you're watching us online right now, I should say participating with us online right now, you are living in a time that was not available just a very short time ago. You know, I've shared this story before, but in our town, I think we still have 3 payphones. Now, those of you that are old, you know what it is. You used to have to walk around with some coins in your pocket. If you're really old, it was like a small coin. But now you need big coins to put it into the machine, right? Well, I remember that we were out one time in our town, and our kids, when they were a little bit younger, they looked at this thing, this box on the wall, and they're like, "Dad, what is that?" It's like, "It's a phone." They're like, "What? That's a phone?" "Yeah, it's a phone. And you have to pay to use it." "What? You have to pay to use it?" "Yeah, and believe it or not, when you used to get into a car, you couldn't just push a button to make the window go down. You had to use your strength and you had to crank the window down." And we understand all these things. But look, we're living at a time of history that has never been witnessed before. And you're a part of it. I believe that God had a plan for your life in this moment. I'm taking too long to share all of this, but it's important. Listen, you were made for this. That's what you've got to know. You were made for this. So even this crazy time that we're going through right now in our world, you were made for this. Any time that something comes against you and it just seems like it's overwhelming, look at it and just stare it in its face. Look at it in its beady little eyes and just say, "I was made for this. I was born for this moment." And you were. You can handle this. You've been created and positioned by God to prosper in every season and through every change and to make a difference. Amen. My goodness, you're called, anointed, and appointed by God for such a time as this. I hope that what you'll do is that you'll take this message today as an introduction to a series that will teach us how to live and how to thrive, not just make it through, but to thrive through the tough times that are coming. And my friend, be assured, there are tough times coming. If you aren't a Christian yet and you're tuning in, I'm so glad that you're here. I'm going to make this really understandable for you. But I want you to know that I want you to understand that what I'm doing today is I'm challenging the Christian church to actually be what Jesus expects us to be and what you should expect us to be too. I have the honor and the privilege of being in a place in Africa where the president of the country spoke to Christians in a stadium filled with 280,000 people, and he called Christians out. He was like, you Christians need to do what the Bible says that you should do. You need to be what this book says that you should be. I mean, he just called Christians out, threw them under the bus, and I think he was right. Amen. Christians, we got to be what Jesus expects us to be. Yeah. You know what Jesus expects us to be? Christian, non-Christian, this is exactly what Jesus said that we should be. He expects us Christians to be the light of the world. He expects us to be the hope of the world. And he expects us to be salvation bringers to the world around us. That's what he expects us to be. If we're not that, we're not nothing. Jesus wants us to be exactly like him. See that word Christian? It means little Christ. We're meant to be an exact representation of who Jesus was. And I've got to say that most of us, probably myself included at many times, are not anything like Jesus was. My friend, it's time to step up your game and become just like Jesus was in everything that he did. In fact, Jesus said, these things will you do, the same things that I did, you're going to do, and greater things than these. Hey, don't worry about the greater stuff yet. How about just doing what Jesus did? If he preached and he taught and he healed, we ought to do those same things too. Can you say amen to that? Now, I'm going to let you know right up front that this message might sound a little bit scary. It might even sound a little depressing if you're listening to it through the wrong filter, or it might even seem a little intense. By the way, if you didn't notice yet, I'm a little intense. That's just the way that I was made. I was wired in an intense kind of a way, you know? But I'm not scary. I'm just intense. This message might seem like that a little bit at the outset. However, if you let the Holy Spirit come in and speak to you and interpret it to you and speak to your heart, I think what you'll see is you'll see an opportunity like no one has ever had in all of human history until this point. Let's look at what Jesus said is coming up. You ready? It's going to be intense. Don't worry about it. This is what Jesus said. You know how I know it's what Jesus said? Because when I look in my Bible, it's written in red. Those are the way that Jesus spoke. He always spoke in red, I guess. So Matthew 24, verses 4 through 14 in the New King James Version of the Bible. We're going to read for a little while. Stick with me. This is what Jesus said is coming up. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed. In other words, listen up, buddy. Listen up and make sure that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And I will will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. I think we're already there, aren't we? Yep. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But listen, the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places like the San Andreas Fault. And these are all the beginning of sorrows. Wait. The beginning of sorrows? That's what Jesus said, the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Wow, isn't that an intense passage of scripture? Wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, they'll kill you. They'll hate you. You'll be offended. People will be offended. Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. I mean, that stuff is already going on. If you do not realize that this is going on, my friend, you are living under a rock. Yeah. You've got to wake up. We are already living in these times that are coming right before Jesus said, and then the end will come. Well, what do you mean? I'm not being delivered up. I'm not experiencing tribulation. You're living under a rock. people around the world, maybe not in America yet, but people around the world, my friends around the world, are already living in these times. And if you try to tell them as an American, no, there's no tribulation going on, there's no persecution happening, they will laugh you to scorn because they're living through it right now. Yeah. In America, trust me, it's coming. I know that we have a wonderful constitution that has kept these things at bay. I know that things have been kept in such a way where we've experienced tremendous freedom and in many other nations around the world. But Jesus said it's coming. And if anyone argues with that, I'm going to tell them they're wrong, because I believe Jesus more than I believe anybody else. And he said it's coming. But let me ask you this question. Have you ever thought about what you're going to do, not what I'm going to do or what the church is going to do, but what you're going to do when this happens? But I don't want to think about that. Most of us want to think that this is not going to happen. No, that could never happen. In fact, a lot of people's theology are based upon they don't want this to happen. Well, Jesus is going to take us out before all of this happens. What if he don't? What if he don't? I mean, what if you got to go through all of this stuff? Then what? Yeah. Well, that's a big what if, Pastor Jake. Yeah, but I would rather be prepared and not have to go through it than not be prepared and have to go through it. Some people think we're not going to be around for all of this stuff, but like the radio host and financial trainer Dave Ramsey says in Financial Peace University, just because you get a bill that you don't like and you shove it in the top drawer and you shove it closed and don't think about it, doesn't mean you don't have to pay the bill. In other words, I think a lot of Christians are going to be completely and totally unprepared for what Jesus said is coming. Let's not be those Christians, because the truth is, this stuff is going to happen. I told you it's going to be a little bit intense, right? So I want to talk to you a little bit about how to be prepared. The thing is that if we think that something is going to be easy, but it ends up being incredibly difficult, we want to quit, don't we? I would rather think that something's going to be really hard, like people just build it up. It's going to be so hard. Oh, my goodness. And then it's like, oh, that wasn't that bad. I would rather it be that way than to be caught off guard thinking it's going to be easy and then it's tremendously hard. I think that's the principle that military basic training is built around, is that it's so tough because the military wants to ensure that when the bullets start flying, the people that are in the army or in the military in general are prepared for what they're going to experience. Now, I don't know if you could ever properly be prepared for someone trying to kill you, but it helps to have some training, doesn't it? Yes. That's why, I mean, if you can't take somebody yelling nasty things at you, you're not going to be able to handle somebody shooting at you. So we might as well get toughened up a little bit. I think Christians, if I could say it in the nicest way possible, we need to harden up. Yeah. We need to get stronger. Be prepared for what's coming up. Check it out, what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. In the New King James Version of the Bible, it says this: you, therefore. You know who this scripture is talking to? You. You, therefore. Yeah, you, right there in the mirror, whatever. You, therefore, for that reason, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Man, we've got to know how to endure hardship. We've got to know how to go through it and come out all right on the other end. Amen? You know, when we became part of God's kingdom, we became part of the army of God. And he told us that tough things are coming up. And then people are like, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for no army. I didn't sign up for an army and to be part of God's kingdom in that way. I didn't want to fight anybody. I thought that I would be able to be like I'd be able to float around on the cloud in a diaper, playing a little harp and stuff, right? Being at total peace. Ah, kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. And then people are like, what? I'm supposed to be in an army? Yes, you don't get to wear a diaper in the army. You don't get to do that. I don't know who told you that that's the way that it was going to be, but they lied to you if they did. That's not what it is. As a good soldier, we must endure hardship. playing on a cloud, playing on a harp, sitting on a cloud in a diaper is not the gospel. Can I tell you what the gospel is? Just a two-part gospel. I'm not going to go really deep into it, but you've got to understand these two aspects, at least, of the gospel. This is the gospel. You ready? Here's part number one. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says this in the New King James Version of the Bible. You ready? Yes, it says. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Yeah. Wait a minute, Pastor Jake. I don't suffer any persecution. Well, then let me ask you, are you trying to live godly? Are you trying to live God's way? Are you trying to do everything according to the word of God? Because if you do, my friend, you are going to get persecution. Now, not to put too fine a point on it, but I will say this, that I believe that Romans chapter 13 tells us that we need to be in submission to the authorities that are above us in our government, our natural government. There are no qualifying statements that I can read in that passage that talks about what if your government is mean? What if they talk to you not nicely? What if they do things that you don't like? Yeah. I don't see any qualifiers that allow me the latitude to say I'm not going to submit to that. Right. The only time that I ever see in Scripture that I get to rebel against my government, my natural government, whether nice or mean, whether totalitarian, authoritarian, communist, or whatever, is when they tell me that I need to go against the word of God. For instance, in the Bible, there were these three Hebrew lads, right? And they were told, along with the rest of the nation that they were captives of, that when the trumpet and the music played, they needed to bow down and worship an idol that was made in the image of the king. And at that moment, they knew that they could not do that. Why? Because God commanded in the Ten Commandments and other places in the Bible that we should not have any other gods before him, that we should not worship any graven images. And so they said at that moment, they said, no, we will not bow. Now, they knew that it was going to cost them their life if they would not yield to that command. In fact, the king was livid because they had positions of authority in that government. And yet he was livid that they would not bow because everyone bowed and they stood up. And nevertheless, they addressed him with respect. And he told them, you better bow down, basically, or I'm going to kill you. And they said, oh, king. You see, they didn't call him by his first name. They didn't flip him off. They didn't whatever. They said, oh, king. And they said that they could not bow. You see, they were responding to the law of God. And if they responded to the king's law, it would have put them directly in opposition to God himself. I believe that's the only place in Scripture that it allows us to rebel against government as a Christian, is when it goes directly against Scripture. Like I told you, if our government tells us in the state of Hawaii that we must not sing in church, I and anyone else who's with me will not follow that order. The Bible says to me, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praises to the end of the earth. And I can't do that without singing. The Bible says, shout with a voice of triumph. I cannot shout without shouting. And so I'm going to shout and I'm going to do what the name of the Lord requires of me to do. You see, we don't get to just choose all these things. See, if we want to live godly, and I've already come under persecution for this, because especially from people who love their freedom, and I understand freedom, but freedom is not an excuse. The Bible says don't use your freedom as an occasion to the flesh. In other words, to disobey God. Yeah. I've come under attack from people around in many places for saying, why don't you just stand up and tell the government, basically, go take a flying leap? Because I don't see that in Scripture. The thing is that I believe that we need to stay submitted to God. And if you want to live godly in this world, the decisions that you make, you are going to suffer persecution. If you want to do what everybody else does, you might just be fine with everybody else. But when you stand up for righteousness, when you stand up and you do the word of God, this is the gospel, my friend. You will suffer persecution. So here's the phrase, harden up. You know, sometimes persecution comes from other Christians. By the way, that's where I get most of my persecution from. It's other Christians. But it shouldn't. Yeah. You see, the Bible refers to a specific type of Christian called carnal. Yeah. A carnal Christian is somebody, the Bible says, don't be carnal. What that means is that we're saved, we're going to heaven, our destination is heaven, but we live according to our unregenerate nature. That means that God wants to, and he has provided a brand new nature for us to live by, the nature of Jesus Christ, to be just like Jesus. But we choose to live by the old nature while changing our destination. That's what a carnal Christian is. And our carnality, living by the old man, living by the old ways, changes the way that we approach God in our mind and in our heart. Because what happens is that people who are carnal, in other words, carnal Christians, they'll say things like this: you are being too spiritual. Yeah. See, when you don't take the Advil and you go to prayer, you're being too spiritual. When you choose that you're going to seek God first for your healing before going to the doctor, you're being too spiritual. You're being too extreme. Oh, that's another one. You're being too extreme. What do you mean? You just do whatever the Bible says? That's so extreme. You can't take that. I mean, you got to apply it to our culture and to context. And you know, that was written a long time ago. That part doesn't really apply today. That whole tithing thing? No, that's really not for today. You're way too extreme. Can I tell you what extremism does in a little way? I think that there's something like 95 or more percent of this church that tithes. Yeah. Can I tell you that virtually no one in our church has lost a job during this time? People all over the world are losing jobs. People in the state of Hawaii, we have one of, if not the highest unemployment rates in the nation right now. That's just coincidence. No, that's extremism. That's taking the word of God and doing it no matter what it says. What? You're crazy. You're going to do that? Yeah, I'm going to do that. The Bible says that if I'm going to do anything, I ought to love the Lord my God with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my heart, with all my strength. So if I give all, I don't have anything to hold back. So I might as well be extreme. But people who are carnal will say that's too extreme. You're being too extreme. The world will never accept you. The world will never accept me anyway. I'm not trying to please the world. I'm trying to please God. And I'm going to be extreme. Sorry, am I too intense for you right now? I told you, I'm intense. That's just the way that I'm wired. I'll come down in a little while, maybe. Here's something else they'll say. You are too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. You ever hear that one before? Can I just make one counterpoint? Whether you say yes or no, I'm going to do it anyway. Here's the counterpoint. You know who was really spiritual? You know who was really extreme? You know who was completely and totally and perpetually heavenly minded? Jesus. He was. The Bible says that Jesus said, I don't do anything except I see my Father do it first. Wait a minute. You mean Jesus didn't do anything of his own volition and of his own accord? No, not according to what Jesus said. And if I believe Jesus, and I do, he was heavenly minded. He was so heavenly minded, in fact, maybe he actually was of some earthly good. He was different than everybody else. All the Pharisees and Sadducees were putting people into religious bondage. But Jesus, being as different as he was, as extreme as he was, as spiritual as he was, brought people from the law to grace. He brought them from death to life. He brought them from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. He brought them from fear to faith. He brought them from the place of defeat into a place of conquering and victory. If you don't want to be a loser, you got to do what winners do. That's all I have to say about that. My coach always used to tell me, he said that champions do what no one else wants to do. You've probably heard it said another way. If you want to soar with the eagles, you can't walk around with the chickens. You got to be bold and you've got to do what you want to be. You've got to be a person after Jesus's own heart. And when we do that, my friends, we will do what Jesus did. You know, the devil was so scared of Jesus that the Bible says that if the devil had not crucified Jesus, the Lord of glory, that everyone on earth would have believed. If I read that previous passage right in Matthew chapter 24, the Bible says that everyone's supposed to believe. That means that we have a responsibility to be just like Jesus and bring the crazy, spiritual, extreme, wonderful, full of love, full of compassion. Everybody wanted to be around him, Jesus' life, to the world around us. Let me say it this way. I think that if we would become more heavenly minded, we might actually become of some earthly good. You know, I think there's so many people out there that try to tiptoe around so much, and we end up, I'm going to preach on this one day, and it's going to be a hot message. They tiptoe around so much, trying not to offend anybody as they go in this Christian thing, and they end up in this place called lukewarm. It's this place that's not hot, it's not cold, it's cool. It's not hot, it's cold, it's just all right. But you know what? That doesn't please God. And it doesn't help man. Amen. I think that what we need to do is we need to be more like Jesus. If anyone wants to live godly in this world, they're going to suffer persecution. Yes. Here's my suggestion, that we just get it into our heart and into our mind. I'm going to suffer persecution, and I'm all right with that. See, when I signed up to play sports or whatever, I knew that I signed up for pain. I signed up for breathing hard. I signed up for blue lips sometimes because I couldn't breathe anymore when I was running wind sprints, when I had exercise-induced asthma, which, by the way, I've been healed of. Amen. See, I knew what I was signing up for. When we signed up to be part of the kingdom of God, we signed up to be tough, but we signed up to be loving. One of the greatest messages that I've heard in recent times was from a Bible college class that I recently took. And yes, I'm still in Bible college. I do have a doctorate in theology, but I'm still learning because I believe that we need to be constant studiers and learners of the Word of God and of His presence and of Jesus Himself so that we can be more like Him. And the person that was talking about this leadership skill said this. He said that as a leader, you've got to have two-sided skin. You've got to have hard-sided skin to help to protect you from the devil and the attacks that people will launch against you when you want to live godly in this world. But you've got to have a soft-sided skin for all those people who are hungry and thirsty and desperate, and maybe they're trying to hurt you, but they just don't know any better. I think Jesus did it perfectly when he was on the cross. And he didn't give up and he didn't get off the cross, though he could have. The Bible says he could have gotten off the cross at any moment. He could have called 12 legions of angels to help him out, but he didn't. But what he did say on that cross was this: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. We've got to have two-sided skin, tough and hard towards the devil and the attacks that come against us, and soft to those who are seeking after God's own heart. I want to challenge us that we need to be more like Jesus. Here's the second part. That's where I'm at. See, I got messed up in my notes. I was just flowing with the Holy Spirit. Here's the second part that I want to talk to you about the gospel. So first of all, it's going to be tough. You're going to suffer persecution. But here's the second part, and it is oh so good. Get ready to feel encouraged. Here's the second part. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It says this, and he, talking about God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. For that reason, or therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. Oh man, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, if you're anything like me and you choose to take God at his word and you choose to believe whatever comes out of the mouth of God, then you are encouraged by this scripture. You know why? Because his grace is sufficient for you. You see, this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying there are things that are going to happen. There's stuff is going to happen. But God's divine ability. See, this is the definition of grace. Three definitions of grace right here. He says things are going to happen, but God's divine ability, God's undeserved favor, and God's character impression upon your heart and its reflection in your life is completely enough. Amen. See, sufficient isn't just like barely enough. Sufficient is like to the brim, to the full. Jesus came to give us life and to give it to the full. No more room to receive anything else before it begins to start pouring over. It's a point of saturation so that if another drip hits the cup, a drip is going to come out. That's how God wants us to live our life. So many Christians live on empty when we should be living on full. My goodness, if we would just get under the spout where the glory comes out, if we would get under the shower of heaven, if we would get into that place where we would allow the grace of God to wash over us and to fill us, we would start to overflow with God's divine ability, with his undeserved favor, with his divine impression upon our heart and its reflection in our life to the world around us. And my goodness, the world around us would change. See, this is the good thing. His grace is completely enough. Amen. It's completely enough for every situation. See, when Jesus was full of the grace of God. The Bible says about Jesus that he was full of grace and truth. So when Jesus was in that boat, if you remember the story, and a storm was going on all around them, and the Bible says that the boat was filled. If you know anything about buoyancy, you would know that once a boat is filled with water, it no longer floats. But there was a miracle that happened already that they were in the boat. It was full and it was still floating. And then Jesus said to the storm, he talked to the wind and the waves. How weird is that, right? He just talked to the wind and he said, "Peace, be still." And his disciples all around him freaked out. They're like, what kind of person is this? They talk to the wind and the waves and they obey him? Let me tell you what kind of man he is. He's the God kind of man. Amen. And he's the kind of man that was our example that you and I should be able to speak to the wind and the waves and they ought to obey us as children of the Most High God. Why did that happen? It's called grace. Grace was on Jesus and it was more than enough to calm the wind and the waves. Somebody's got to grab that out there today. You're going through some storms in your life. I'm prophesying to you now, so you might as well just grab a hold of it. You might be going through some storms in your life right now, but through the grace of God, and if you yield to God and let the word of God be in your mouth, you'll talk to those storms and you'll just say, "Peace, be still, quit it, knock it off." You don't have to get all holy about it. "Peace, be still." No, just talk to it, like, quit it. Stinking storm, get off me, you know? Back off. I'm a child of God. You have no right to ruin and sink my ship. Get off my life. See, you just got to get a little bit angry sometimes. Sometimes Christians are a little bit too nice. They entertain the devil when they should punch him in the face. Was that too intense for you? You can't say you should punch the devil in the face. Why not? Jesus stepped on his head. We might as well just punch him in the face and get it over with. Amen? We need to be vile against the devil. We need to fight and oppose the devil, not let him run us over. Was that enough for you guys today? I think you're feeling a little bit full. You're like that Far Side comic, you know, the kid with the really fat head, and he's like, "Teacher, can I be excused? My brain's full." You know, you're feeling like that in the spirit. You feel a little full right now. That's all right. Just go and digest it like a snake for the next week. Let it digest in you so that you can get the word of God to challenge you to be all right with persecution and to be full of the grace and the mercy of God. And if we do these things, we're going to be all right. And all the way through the end of the story, all the way to that "and then the end will come" part, we're going to be all right. Because hard times are going to come, but the grace of God is going to be sufficient at every moment and every juncture that we need it. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to be teaching us how to be a Christian in the end times. We're going to focus on learning through the Bible, not my opinion. We're going to start learning through the Bible how to think about and how to respond to the things that are coming up and rapidly approaching in these last days. We're going to basically learn how to be like Jesus was on this earth. I think that you're going to want to tune in. It's probably going to take us a number of weeks. Jesus took 3.5 years or 2.5 years of earthly ministry to impart who he was to his disciples so that the Bible says that they turned the world upside down. If it took Jesus 2.5 years to impart that to his disciples, I think that it should take us at least a few weeks in this new dispensation of grace to get it in, across into your heart. Really, it's just going to be a starter, and you're going to grow from there based upon what you grab a hold of in the Word of God. Today, as we close, I want to just give you one last thing, and then I want to pray for you and offer salvation. If you've never met Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to get on this train of the grace of God being sufficient for you in every moment and all the way through the end of the world, look, bad things are coming. Be prepared. The best preparation you can have is not an AR-15. The best preparation you can have is not a first aid class. The best preparation that you can have is not any of those things. The best preparation that you can have is the Spirit of God living in you, letting you walk in the grace and in the power of Jesus Christ. Just one thing. Here's one thing. If you're going to hold on to something this week, hold on to this. His grace is enough. We can make a difference even in tough times. Listen, y'all, we can do this. We can do this. We don't have to quit out. We don't have to ring the proverbial bell. We don't have to tap in the end times. We can make it through, and we can bring people with us. We can do this. Couple last thoughts real quick before I offer salvation to anyone who needs it. Christian, it's time for us to be Christians and not just saved. In other words, it's time for us to live like Jesus lived on this earth as the exact representation of who he was to the world around us. A Christian is a little Christ, right? Yeah. Doing, thinking, saying the exact same things that Jesus did while he was on the earth. We need to be this kind of Christian today. No more of this show up just on Sunday Christian. Be a Christian for an hour or 2 hours on a Sunday morning Christian. No more of this quit when the going gets tough, Christian. We need to be the kind of Christian that Jesus was. We need to be Christ, or as Jeannie Mayo says, Jesus with skin on. I hope that you'll be that to the world around you. I hope that I'll be that to the world around me. They desperately need us to be just like Jesus in these last times. My friend, if you're out there and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never asked him to be a part of your life and to be your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity right now. Christian, if you've been living that carnal lifestyle and you've been one foot in and one foot out, you've been living in such a way where you take what the Bible says under advisement, but you don't actually do what it says. You don't actually believe every word of it. But as I've been talking today, you felt something rise up on the inside of you. By the way, it's the Holy Spirit of the living God rising up on the inside of you, challenging you to be beyond lukewarm, be either hot or cold, and you're ready to make that decision today. You're ready to go all in with Jesus Christ. This is your moment right here and right now. The Bible says that there's something that Jesus hates, which is a lukewarm Christian. The Bible says that he will spew him out of his mouth. I don't want that to happen to you, Christian. I want you to be on fire for God. I want you to be so passionate for Jesus Christ, so spiritual, so extreme, so heavenly minded that you become of extreme earthly good to the world around you, providing salvation and hope and light and salt and everything that the world needs from you. I want to challenge you, don't be lukewarm for one more moment. Make a decision right now to walk with Jesus Christ. So if that's you and you've never met him as your personal Lord and Savior, never turned over control of your life to Jesus, he is good through and through, and he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you, but he will take his grace and put it on you so that you're able to endure anything that comes your way. If you're a Christian and you've been away from Jesus, it's time to come back home. How do you do this? Simply by two things. The Bible says that if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then we'll be saved. But that necessitates that we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He spilled his blood to wash away every sin and every stain and to make us perfect. And that on the third day, God raised him from the dead. Amen. If you can believe that, the Bible says the heart believes unto salvation. The second thing is that the Bible says that we need to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And it's not just Lord over everybody else, it's Lord over us. So what that means is that we're turning control of our life over to him. For you, if you've been a carnal Christian, this is so important for you to make that declaration fresh today, that you're not the Lord of your life. You're not evaluating whether you're going to or not going to obey God. You've made a decision, I'm going to obey him because he is Lord and I am not. Whatever he says, I'm going to do it. And if you can make that call today, you, my friend, will be saved. I want to ask you if you would just pray with me today. If you've never prayed this prayer and you're praying it for the first time, all you have to do is, you're not praying a prayer. It's not a Christian enchantment or incantation. It's simply a prayer that helps to guide you to Jesus Christ. And all you need to do is mean it in your heart and Jesus will hear you and he'll accept you into his family. No doubt about it. And when we are done praying, you can be sure that your destination is heaven and that you are saved. If you should die, heaven forbid, by the end of today, you know that you are saved, your destination is heaven, and you are a child of God. Amen. With all of the right privileges and responsibilities thereunto. Today, we're going to pray. I want to invite every one of you to pray this with me. If you're praying it for the first time or you're coming back home to Jesus, just simply mean it in your heart and make him the Lord of your life. You ready? I'm going to pray. You repeat after me and mean it in your heart. To the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I say with my mouth that I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe that you raised him from the dead, and I declare that he is the Lord of my life, that he is the boss, that he is the king, and I'm going to follow him. I'm going to obey him in everything. I choose him today to lead me and to guide me. Father, I believe that Jesus is my Lord and he is my Savior. And I believe that I am now saved, that the angels are my helpers, that the Holy Spirit is my guide, that God is my Father, and my destination is heaven. Change me to be like Jesus. I'm ready for it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Look, if you prayed that prayer today and you meant it in your heart to the Lord, then you are now a child of God. You are saved and your life will never be the same again if you choose to walk with him for every moment of every day of the rest of your life. We're so excited if you gave your life to Jesus today. The Bible says that all of heaven is rejoicing with you if even one lost person came to Jesus. We want to join in the heavenly celebration with you. So if you gave your life to Jesus today, we want to ask you if you'd please comment in the comment stream, or if you would message us, email us or call us. Just let us know somehow that you gave your life to Jesus, or even if you came home and you made a bold decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life and you're going to follow him. We want to know so we can rejoice with you, but we also want to send you a very valuable gift as well as a Bible and tell you how you can take your next step in Jesus Christ. By the way, there are some people that want to get baptized. In fact, we had some young ones that this week, in the middle of the week, they got born again. The Spirit of God moved on them and they're like, Mom, I want to get saved. I want to get born again. How many of you know all kids got to get saved? Yeah. Some of y'all kids need to get saved, right? But isn't it great when the Spirit of God calls on them and just encourages them to get saved, and now they want to get baptized? So we're going to organize a baptism. We're going to figure out how to do this thing with all of these regulations and restrictions and mandates, but we're going to come up with a creative solution, and we're going to dunk some people in some water and get them baptized into the family of God. So stay tuned for that. If you want to get baptized, would you let us know? You can let us know that on the app. You can fill out the form there with the contact form, or you can comment, you can message, you can email us. Just let us know you want to get baptized, and we want to get you baptized to you. It's going to be an amazing anointed time in the presence of God. Until then, we hope that you'll come and join us on Wednesday night so that you can pray with us from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Hawaii Standard Time, and join us for communion following that prayer time. And then join us again next week, Sunday, 10 o'clock a.m. Hawaii Standard Time, for a time of live praise and worship and the Word, and come and learn how to live like Jesus Christ. In the meantime, I pronounce the blessing of God over you, the anointing and the grace of God to follow you all through this week. Do whatever you can to live like Jesus lived and be Jesus with skin on to the world around you. We love you, we bless you, and we'll see you again real soon.